This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Hi there, and welcome to Close Up. Yes, I'm Phyllis Smith. And, you know, one of the biggest problems that many entrepreneurs have is that they are in a perpetual state of overwhelm. They try to do everything, and the next thing you know, the business that started out from a place of passion becomes nothing but a noose around their neck. The idea of work-life balance is nothing but a pipe dream that they will never achieve. But it doesn't have to be this way. So today, I'm speaking with business consultant Nancy O'Keefe, who helps small business owners leap over the proverbial wall that holds them back from success without giving up the business they love. And Nancy is also the host of EWN Radio Network's show, When Opportunity Knocks, that can be heard live on Mondays at 12 noon Eastern. So, Nancy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Phyllis.
Well, you are desperately needed, and especially for our eWomen Network community. So I want to ask you my first question. You always hear about work-life balance, but is there really such a thing?
No. When you're an entrepreneur, you have to be on 24/7. I mean, you never know when you're going to meet up with a prospect. Could be in the grocery store, could be any time. And you really need to be in business mode all of the time. So it's very hard to achieve what has been called work-life balance. For me, it's more about crafting a business that you love so it doesn't feel like work, and then establishing some good boundaries on your time so that you do carve out some time for family and social life and so on. Many of the entrepreneurs I work with don't seem to have a life. They don't get a chance to see their friends, their families complaining that they're never available for social events or family events, and that makes it very, very hard and very frustrating.
I mean, because the bottom line is if you're not working, you're not making money. I mean, that's it. But that's not true necessarily. I mean, the thought is if I'm not busy, if I'm not doing, I won't get revenue. But that isn't really true. It depends on the business you create.
Exactly. It's true for some people because their business is set up in such a way that they're really trading money for time, and they're not leveraging what they do. They don't have good packages of their services. They don't have a way to keep clients engaged that doesn't mean that they have to do it themselves for each engagement. There are lots of ways to craft a business to make it a business that you enjoy working with. And it's, you know, gone are the days of the cookie cutter business where it's this is the way we do it. And this is what has to be done. There's just so many other things available and ways you can craft your business so that it really supports what you want out of life. So what I try to do with my clients is to start way back with what do you want? What do you want out of life? What do you want your life to look like? And then let's build the business to support what you want out of your life. Most people do it the other way around. They know how to do something or they're very interested in something and they start a business around it and it just takes over. It's, you know, like a monster that just keeps growing. And even if it's growing in a good way, sometimes it can feel like it's not good because you're just completely overwhelmed and stressed out.
Mm. And, you know, I'm sure if you're an entrepreneur, I think most people have read the E-Myth. And that's a concept there that he works through with a client, and you know that is you know somebody who bakes cookies or bakes muffins, and that's their passion. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they can run a business. And so you might want to go in business because you have a lot of wisdom and experience around what you do and what your passion is, but there is definitely business strategies you have to learn in order to be able to monetize. And so, you know, Warren Buffett said that the difference between successful people and very successful people is that very successful people say no to almost anything. So, Nancy, what are some of the things small business owners say yes to that they shouldn't?
Well, I think for me, the benchmark is how much revenue do you have? How close are you to your revenue goals? If your revenue is not where you want it to be, then the only things that you really should be working on are building relationships and setting up sales for today and tomorrow. So that's, you know, requires probably doing some networking or whatever you do to prospect and build relationships and get clients. In the early stages, that's it. You shouldn't be doing anything else. And you should start thinking about building your organization day one. So the minute you can afford to have some sort of help to do the administrative things, you should definitely get on board with that, whether it's a virtual assistant, somebody working just a couple hours a week, even a family member helping you out, because you've got to stay focused on building that revenue stream. Then at some point, your business is large enough so that you can say yes to a few more things. But some of the traps I see people falling into are, you know, getting too involved in some organizations that might be great organizations of colleagues, but maybe their customers don't frequent there, taking on too much in the family. And because you're an entrepreneur, maybe working from home, sometimes it's difficult to set those boundaries. People think you're just at home and your time's your own, and you know, your children can call and ask for a babysitter, or perhaps a parent needs something. And we give in to those things, especially as women. We don't put good boundaries around our business.
When you say you know business owners tend to get trapped into going to the org, being involved or connected with organizations of colleagues, but not necessarily where the clients are. What are some ways that people in this stage of networking and building those relationships, and I love what you said too, building relationships, setting up sales for today and tomorrow. So it's not about, you know, going to these things and say, hey, hire me. It's about the relationships, because as we know, that especially in the world of women, they will do business with people they know, like, and trust. So what would you recommend then for somebody early stages of business where they are starting to, they need to really cultivate those relationships? How do they determine where they show up to build those relationships?
Well, it's really important to get very, very clear on who you're going to serve. One of the problems is people go out with something they think is a great idea, and then they don't have a lot of sales, and they wonder why nobody's interested in what they have. So there's a couple of problems around that, but the first step is to really understand, what are you offering, and is it solving a problem, or is it making something possible for people that isn't possible now? Are you creating a result for people that they really want? They have to recognize that need or that desire, and then they have to want to spend money to solve that problem or get what they want. And a lot of times we think we have a great idea, we go out there, we market it, we talk to people about it, but nobody wants to plunk the money down to buy it. So it's all about really understanding what you're offering. Is it solving a problem? Are you on the right track? Do people want to pay for what you have? Do they need it? Really recognize that they need it. And then who are those people? Once you determine who they are, then it's very easy to find them. If you know, for example, I work with creative entrepreneurs, so I know where I can go to find people that are brand consultants or web designers or kitchen designers. And once you have that nailed down, it's very easy to figure out which networking events you should go to or which association meetings you might want to attend as a guest and start to, you know, get to know some of the people in those communities.
And when you talk about creative people, because I am one, before I was working as a media director of media services for eWomen Network, I spent, 35 plus years as a television producer, radio producer, reporter, and so forth, always in the creative field, and spent a short time, very short time, when I just started in radio before I got into the creative production, and I sold radio advertising, and I was terrible at it. I was really great at making relationships and getting the appointments, but I hated to close. I didn't know how to close. I didn't know how to ask for money. And creative people are notorious for that. They are embarrassed. They're somehow ashamed to ask for the sale or ask for the business. So since that is a, it sounds to what you just said is, you know, that's a big clientele of yours. For creative people who are listening, what are some tips you can offer them to, you know, put the shame, get rid of the shame and just, you know, get on with the business?
Yeah, it's really a mindset shift. If you firmly believe you've got something people need and want, then you're not selling. At that point, you're helping and you're solving problems. You're a solution provider. And it's a very simple, small mind shift. But when you think about it in those terms, once you know how to talk about what you're doing, how to speak the language of your prospect, how to understand their problem and communicate that you understand it and potentially have a solution for it, now all of a sudden it's easier to sell because you have a problem, I have a solution. If we both feel this is a good fit, let's talk about working together.
I like that. You're not selling, you're helping. That's you know, it's so different when you position it that way and you really believe it. I mean, as you say, you know, nobody wants to go, if somebody has something to sell, for the most part, it's something that they care deeply about. And so, you know, to think in terms of what I have to offer, whether service or product, I really believe this is something that will make your life better. Then there really isn't, it's not selling. It's just, and that's how I feel. It's, you really feel that you're making a difference in somebody else's life. And choosing that mindset will make all the difference in the world. So you have a program, Nancy, you offer called Focus, which teaches small business owners how to work less and have success. Okay, Sam, so I'm going to say that again, how to work less and have success. So that almost sounds like, what is it? It's not a conundrum, but it almost sounds like that's impossible. So why don't you, if you would, give us your top three most important tips to make that happen, how to work less and have success.
Well, the first thing you have to do is get out of the lone wolf syndrome and stop trying to do everything yourself. So there are three things that you can do around that. One is document the way things are being done. So however you want things to work, you need a process. You can't get help from other people if they don't know what to do. And part of that documentation has to be a piece about the responsibility they have and the authority they have. So there's also an escalation process that has to go along with that, because small business owners tend to be a little bit of a control freak in some ways, and I don't blame them, because it's your baby, it's your livelihood. You've got to make sure everything is working the way you want it to. So by having good process and an escalation process, you can hand off some things to people and have them help you with it within certain parameters, so that you are able to then check their work, make sure it meets your standards, and get it off your plate. And that brings us to number two, which is delegate. Most people just plain don't know how to delegate. They might micromanage, they might be a perfectionist, and nothing's ever good enough. So in those cases, sometimes they never even get the item delegated. And then there are people that just sort of hand it off and don't give enough explanation. So there's a lot of reason why delegation fails, and that fuels the small business owner's idea that, well, nobody can do it as good as I can, or I've got to do this myself, I can't get anybody to step up and help. But learning how to delegate is just important. So once you document things and you delegate the pieces that you either aren't good at, don't want to do, don't enjoy doing, don't have the skills to do, the next step is to look at your operation and see what you can automate. I do a lot with systems, simple systems, things that are off-the-shelf packages that probably most people already have in their office. But it's all about the strategy of implementing them properly to make them work the way you want the business to run. And those are the top three things that you can do to really help you ratchet down the amount of hours you're spending, take some of the work off your plate and either have others do it or have automation help you with it. Automation is like another pair of hands if it's done right. And those are the things that really allow you to get focused on the things you should be spending time on, like building the relationships, planning your growth in the business, and setting up your sales for tomorrow.
And what the last three things you just said are really the things that you, only you can do. So, yeah, look for I think this is great. Okay, very good. We're going to take a short break, Nancy. Coming up next, what every small business owner should know to get their freedom back. You just laid out a few, but we're going to go into some more in detail. So stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak, just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at EWNRadioNetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Welcome back to Close Up. Having a great conversation, a very important conversation for all you business owners out there with Nancy O'Keefe. She is a business consultant. Her business is called Simple Small Business Solutions, and she helps small business owners really, you know, leap over that wall that's holding them back and helps them create a strategy for getting past it and creating a business that you love. Because after all, you chose to be in business for something that you love, whether it's a product or service, it's something you feel that people need, you feel you could make a difference, but there is, there's business, there's monetizing that so that you can do what you love and also live and live well at the same time. Nothing to be ashamed of. So, Nancy, as I said, the name of your consulting business is Simple Small Business Solutions. The word simple almost seems impossible when it comes to running your own business. So what are some of the mistakes that small business owners make that tend to complicate their business rather than simplify it?
Well, and this is where focus comes in, because the good news is there's so much great marketing and technology stuff out there to use that it really levels the playing field for a small business and helps them compete with just about anybody. The bad news is there's so much marketing and technology stuff out there, and we tend to chase the market. So anytime something new comes out, we think we've got to be there. We look at social media platforms and we think we have to be on all of them. It's really about trying to be everything to everyone, and that never works. So you need to, again, to get back to what you're doing, who you're serving, and why you're doing it. Your why is important. And once you understand that and you're really committed to it, then you don't have to chase shiny objects. You don't have to compete on every platform that's out there. You need to understand where you find the people you want to serve and how to best reach them, and then just focus on that and keep focusing on it. The second thing that people tend to do is they hop all around. So they'll try something for a couple of weeks or a month, and they don't get the result they want, so they'll hop over and try something else. Result is you don't get enough traction anywhere. You've got to stick with something for some period of time, and that varies depending on what it is. But if you don't stick with it, you're never going to get any traction, and you'll never see any results. And probably the third thing I see people make the mistake with is just going it alone and not thinking about building an organization day one. If you're starting a business and you really want a business and not just the creation of a job for yourself, then on the first day you need to start carving out roles and responsibilities and understanding how your organization needs to grow to support what you want. Doesn't mean you have to hire anyone on the first day, but you've got to have those plans in place, and then you've got to execute those plans as you hit the specific milestones that you set up for yourself in that plan. And, you know, you can't wait until it's too late and you're in overwhelm, because then you're running to chase and catch up again. And it's very hard at that point to get what you need in place fast enough for it to make a difference without creating some insanity on your own part.
You know, every business owner has to do work they don't enjoy, but, you know, I mean, that's just part of the job. But too much of it will turn their career into just a job for them. And that's not to say people who have, quote, just a job and are bringing home a paycheck, a very valuable paycheck, and supporting their family, themselves, you know, that's also valuable. I mean, there is, you know, there are people for sure who, you know, the most important thing is they work to play. And I think that that's okay. And that's a great mindset to have, too. But specifically for entrepreneurs who choose to be, you know, own their own business, generally that would be considered a career. That's something that is absorbed as sort of part of you. And your work is your play. So, but something that is inherently, you know, so too much of you know, doing what they don't love will turn their, you know, this career, this business they love into a job. And something that's inherently the opposite of why they went into the business to begin to begin with. So what are some of those jobs they think they have to do to run a business, but they really don't? You alluded to some of that when you talk about creating automated systems. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's important to have good pieces in place, a good foundation in, for example, bookkeeping and accounting. But you don't have to do it yourself, even though you may like doing it or you may be good at it. There's a real difference between you know, having to work all the intricacies yourself and getting, you know, trusted partners to help you. And there are so many good firms you can outsource a lot of the administrative piece of your business. You've got to have a good accountant for taxes and so on. You can outsource your bookkeeping. If you have employees, never do your payroll yourself. Oh, my God, there's so many rules and regulations around that it's just a nightmare and it takes way too much of your time. Anything that doesn't contribute to the bottom line, in other words, it's not profit generating, are things you really don't want to be doing yourself. You want to be paying someone else to do them. And, you know, you can be the chief cook and bottle washer, but if you do that, you've really just created a job for yourself. And, you know, this is a little difficult because sometimes it's a lot easier to sit behind our computers and do some of those things. We feel busy, we feel productive, we feel like we're moving our business forward, when in reality it's a way of hiding and not getting out there and building the relationships and, you know, doing the visionary we need to do in order to grow our business. So it's, you know, it's really about focusing on the right things at the right point and letting someone handle the rest. I mean, that's a sort of a theme throughout this whole discussion, but that's the key to things.
Yeah, and even in the very, I want to go back to what you said in the very beginning of our conversation when you talked about if you have no money and you're just starting your business right now, you need to be out there developing relationships, and then you need to be out there creating sales opportunities for today and tomorrow, and that's what those relationships are all about. And then I think, don't you find too that when you do talk to people, I think, like you say, you can hide behind your computer, you can hide behind all the busy stuff, and you can do busy very well. But sometimes picking up the phone, for example, to follow up on a conversation you might have had with somebody you met at somewhere, at a conference or something, that can be hard. It's kind of scary sometimes to pick up that phone. Will they remember me? What do I say? How do I approach this person? You know, and in fact, that leads me to that, to expand on that a little bit. In developing those relationships, I know follow-up is so key after you meet people in a networking situation. What do you think is a good way? Because, as I said, it can be kind of scary. What would you say is a good opening line for somebody who could tend to hide behind the computer and not necessarily be the relationship maker, but they have to learn to be in order to be in business?
Well, I think the most important thing, some people don't like to go out there and network. And, you know, that's a mindset shift, too, because you're not out there selling. A lot of people shy away from networking because they feel like it's too stressful to go out there and sell. All you're going to do is go out there and meet strangers. And there's three types of strangers in the world. There's strangers that you'll meet that might turn into nice business friends and acquaintances. There's strangers that you'll meet that might turn into prospects and customers. And there's strangers that you'll meet that might turn into colleagues or referral partners. So if you go out there with the attitude that you're just going to have some fun and going to have some conversations and meet some new people, that's the right way to get out there and network. Then after that, if you hit it off with someone and you're having a conversation that you're both enjoying, then you probably want to nurture that relationship. One of the ways I recommend doing that is through autoresponders in an email marketing system. I tend to use and abuse systems for maybe ways they weren't always intended. But it's great to follow up with someone regularly. It's been said, I've heard say that you need 5 to 7 touches before people will begin to know, like, and trust you. So The follow-up is the key. You're absolutely right about that. And there are some very scary statistics out there about people trying to do sales who are not following up more than once or twice. You're never going to make a sale if it takes 5 or 7 touches to even build a relationship, no less get the person to buy from you. So you can send out things in an email autoresponder, like an interesting article. You can, you know, have some things set up ahead of time that don't sell. You want to just give valuable information, things that will help people maybe understand a little bit about how you delegate better, and talk about, you know, some of the trends in technology that you should be paying attention to versus not paying to. These are some of the things I might use as ways to show my expertise and build a relationship. And then you've got to sprinkle in some phone calls. Maybe you're going to pick up the phone. I know it weighs 600 pounds, but you pick it up and you call the person and say, hey, I just registered to go back to that networking event where I met you. Were you planning to go this month or next month or what have you? Just a conversation about anything. Well, I'll look forward to seeing you there. Or did you like the article I sent you? Blah, blah, blah. It's just the same way you would communicate with someone you were making a friend with. And I think if you can take that scariness out of it and just have fun with it, that's the key.
Well, listen, we're about to wrap up here, but I just want to say your business tagline, let me just say again, your business is Simple Small Business Solutions, and people can find you at simplesmallbusinesssolutions.com, correct?
Correct.
All right. And your tagline is, we focus on your freedom. You know, I love that. And I also heard it said that true success is determined based on how much free time you have. So if there's one thing that you can tell me, tell small business owners to do to achieve this kind of freedom right now, what would it be? One quick thing that they can take away.
Your business doesn't have to be cookie cutter. It should support you. You can recreate it to do that. It's simple, and it's so much more effective and pleasurable.
Very good. All right, Nancy, thank you so much again. You can reach Nancy at simplesmallbusinesssolutions.com. And for all you small business owners out there, if you're just getting started, go out and meet some people. And if you're in it for a little while, continue to go out and meet some people and follow up, and delegate. Very good. All right. Thank you so much, Nancy. We'll be in touch. Again, Nancy's show on EWNRadioNetwork.com is When Opportunity Knocks, and it's heard live on Mondays at 12 noon Eastern.
Thank you, Phyllis. I appreciate being a guest on your show.
My pleasure.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
Hey, Phyllis Smith here. Thanks for listening to Close Up today. And don't forget to visit EWNRadioNetwork.com and check out some of my other shows, as well as shows from other fabulous hosts that span topics from business to health to grief recovery. See you soon.